Welcome to the Clubhouse with Shane Bacon. I am your host, Shane Bacon. Big week. Dustin Johnson dominates at the Tournament of Champions. We got Visorgate with John Rahm as he moves to world number three. Tiger commits to a couple of California events. Ricky Fowler was in full dad mode on the course, dad vacation mode. I loved it. A lot of fun to kick off this 2018 season. And we're back on schedule here with the Clubhouse. Had some holiday trips and all that. But we are back. We'll be pumping out podcasts all year long. Speaking of all year long, make sure you are signed up for PGA Tour Live again this year. The bonus coverage that include featured groups and featured holes you cannot see anywhere else gets going next week at the Career Builder. It's only $40 for the year. And if you're a fan of the game and also a fan of sneaking in a little coverage during those long work weeks, sign up now at PGATourLive.com. Trust me, you will not regret it. And speaking of signing up, make sure you're connected with that Clubhouse newsletter. Had a bunch of fun pieces in there today. We'll have another one on Wednesday. Very easy to sign up. Just go on my Twitter page, at Shane Bacon. The link to sign up is right there atop the page, and you'll get all your golf news in your inbox. You don't have to go searching around the internet. Nobody likes to do that anymore. And before we bring in Jaime Diaz of Now Golf Channel to talk Dustin Rahm, the golf media landscape moving forward, and much more, including a super hot take at the end about Tiger and how Jaime sees him a healthy Tiger this year, getting back to the best player in the world status, not just winning, best player in the world. I wanted to remind you all that OGIO continues to be one of the leaders in golf bag design. The 2018 Cirrus Stand Bag is out. It's lovely. I just took it on a golf trip down to Tubac, where they filmed a lot of the Tin Cup movie back in the day, and it's one of the lightest bags you'll ever find that doesn't compromise pocket space, which is huge for me. So many times, a light bag will feel constricting, not the Cirrus bag. Seven pockets, a water bottle holder, self-adjusting strap system. Say that five times fast. I love my Cirrus bag. You can too. Use the Clubhouse with no spaces at checkout, and you will save 20% on any order. Golf, backpack, travel bag, it doesn't matter. You'll save 20% right off the top. Use that offer code, theclubhouse at OGIO.com, and up your game today. And that is enough of me. Let's get to Jaime. And we welcome back into the Clubhouse one of my favorite journalists in golf, but now is going to be a TV face, not just print. Jaime Diaz. Jaime, why the move? Now you go away from what you were so good at. Now you're going to be a TV face. Why'd you make the move?
I should ask you that. Just an opportunity. Honestly, I mean, I'm an old guy. I've had an incredibly lucky career. But print journalism's in a place where I probably, my time was coming close to being over. And I just had a chance to move into a medium that I've always admired, the practitioners of. I mean, we've all watched sports and golf on television since we were kids. And not to say I expect to be Jack Whitaker or a commentator or anything. Just I always been impressed whenever it's been done well. I just thought, gee, that would be cool to be part of that in some way.
Yeah, well, it's something I want to dive into here in a little bit. I want to touch on the Tournament of Champions right now, but I want to get back to kind of what you said, and that is where the landscape of media is going. So let's hold the button on that for a minute. Let's talk a little Dustin Johnson. We had our first big event of 2018, the Tournament of Champions. Dustin Johnson, big winner, shot 8-under on Sunday. And he did it Dustin Johnson-like. I mean, this is a guy that can overpower golf courses unlike anybody we've really seen in golf. You know, are we making too big of a deal of what Dustin can do to golf courses? You know, is this recency bias, or is this something that you're watching that you didn't see with Jack and Tiger and people that were able to lean on their distance and their ability to find fairways 350, 370 yards down? I mean, is this something that we need to take a step back on, or is this really one of the most impressive things we've seen from somebody that was a power player?
Well, a little bit of all of it, but I do think recent. I love that phrase, which I've been hearing a lot on cable television now. You know, recency bias, and I think that that was a really spectacular performance yesterday. In part because the golf course was so spectacular, but it also is a course that gives opportunities for that kind of player to have a free run and free wheel. And I think we don't get to see that very often. And a lot of guys are capable of, not what Dustin is necessarily, but close to it when the golf course is right. And sometimes I just used to see it at St. Andrews because the fairways were wide and you see a lot of drivers. You know, PGA Tour golf has become, I think, more constricted just because, you know, distance is getting so great that they have to rein them in architecturally. But Kapalua does not do that. And Dustin was in a beautiful mood. I mean, he talked about his new driver that he loved. He'd been there for a week. The fairways are extremely wide. He's won there already. And I just think he was freewheeling in the best sense of the word. And he does have a lot, a lot in reserve when he wants to use it. And he looked so, I don't know, fearless. And have drivable par fours like that, and one that probably was not even considered a drivable par four, a 12th, and knock it to 4 inches or whatever, 6 inches. I thought it was pretty astute of Jim Mackay to say, you know, he's got a chance to over the greens in play here. So he knows what Dustin's capable of. He's played a lot of practice rounds in his company. But I would say a lot of what he accomplished yesterday, as great as it was, and as big a fan as I am, and how much I admire what he did at Oakmont, that I thought was more impressive because those fairways were penal. This was not penal. And I think to think he can do that to all these golf courses is a stretch, even though he did it to Oakmont. But that was weak, his week. I mean,
Right.
he has not always been great in majors.
Right.
He tends to, you know, hit a little crookeder in majors, or at least find rough that's more punishing. So, you know, I guess I'd say there's very few guys that can do what DJ can do. Maybe only one, him, at the moment. But was it Tiger and Jack, you know, caliber domination? It was with the driver, but it's not with the rest of the game. So, you know, I think to say you can just use your driver to dominate is false. You still have to have the rest of the game, and Tiger dominated with all through the bag, short game, wedge, everything. Jack only had a little bit of a liability with the wedge, but he was great with everything else, and especially the putter. So I don't think DJ's at that stature yet, but he's improving, and he's got a wonderful kind of attitude about it. You know, he seems very at peace with, you know, his work ethic, and which he didn't always have, and he seems like he loves what he's doing. So that bodes very well.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I mean, just hearing you talk about this is something I wanted to get into with Dustin is, and I saw people on Twitter say this a little bit over the weekend. You know, this is the number one player in the world. He has 17 wins. He's now in the top 50 all time on the PGA Tour. He's just 33 years old. And it just seems like we almost look past Dustin's abilities or his feats or what he's done. You know, it seems like when Justin Thomas does these types of things, people get really excited about it. Of course, it happens with Spieth. I feel like Rory is the number one player of this generation that kind of creates that buzz and that excitement to watch him when he's in contention at big events. I feel like when Dustin does it, he has this ability to almost bore us with his incredible golf game. Do you feel that a little bit when you watch and see him do this, win these big events with the best players in the world by 7, 8 shots, and it doesn't seem like he almost gets the credit he deserves?
Well, to be fair, he hasn't won many by 7, 8 shots. This was one of the very few. I think he had a couple of 4-shot victories, which have been impressive. But I think that's the thing with Dustin is two things. Other than Oakmont, he really hasn't risen to the biggest occasions. And so I think there's a part of our brains that just hold his ascendancy in reserve slightly. I think yesterday made a big, you know, impact on changing that, but it still wasn't a major, and it still wasn't, you know, when he's expected to do it, so to speak. I don't. His game does not bore me. His game's exciting.
Well, and it's not
He
as boring. It's just, again,
No, I know what you're saying.
yeah.
It's his manner. It's his manner and the way he talks about it later and how matter of fact he is. And yeah, it's not an emotional, like Jordan is so good at, you know, explaining everything going on in his mind. And you're right, JT is, you know, Justin Thomas is not as voluble as Jordan, but there's something about him, maybe his pedigree, you know, as a prodigy and growing up with Jordan, that you sort of expect a lot out of him. And he's in that age where he's on a honeymoon. I mean, you know, his flaws are sort of forgotten about a little bit because he's so young, because we feel like time's on his side. And DJ's 33, and it's like, okay, he's probably not going to get that much better. And that may be false. So I think there's kind of a bias against DJ as far as elevating him. And then the recent past, and that, you know, recency bias, even though golf's a long marathon, recency bias is really prevalent in the way we cover sports and golf included. And he, you know, because of that injury at the Masters, that was his moment, the Masters. I mean, he
Right.
won three going in, didn't happen, got hurt, wasn't the same all year. He's been a little out of the loop, in our minds at least. And this was a huge reminder, but I think that's really where we are right now. You know, Justin Thomas, God, nobody talked about him before last year very much. He
Right.
won once. And now he's on everybody's mind as maybe, you know, because he's such a great driver, maybe he's actually better than Spieth. I'm not sure that's true. I'm only saying there's sort of more grist there. And with DJ hasn't given us a lot of that yet, lately to kind of work with.
Yeah, it's just that the Dustin thing is so interesting. You know, I read this really great piece that Jeff Shackelford put up on his website about the event and how it was a little bit of a bore, and he had some great points, I thought, about ways you could change it and spice up that event. I love the idea. You said go from Tuesday to Friday.
Jeff should be a tournament director, I'm telling you. He loves operations. He loves logistics. Yeah, he's got a lot of ideas. I do admire how much he's into it.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, he mentioned, you know, primetime golf. You know, you're getting this opportunity in golf to show night golf for people, especially if you're on the East Coast. You're going to get that, you know, you're laying on the couch, you're going to bed, you're getting the final round of this event. Put it Tuesday to Friday. You avoid all football, and I love the idea of match play. But He mentioned a few times in there that this was a little bit of a snoozer, and it's because of what Dustin did to the golf course. And even the great players we've seen before Dustin, and I'm going to put Dustin as a great player. He's number one in the world, and you know, he's done really well in the WGC events. He does have the one major championship, but he's been there a lot, and I feel like Oakmont's going to help him, you know, when he gets there again next time he's in contention or close to one. I mean, I don't think you're going to say he's not going to win four majors in his career. I mean, I think if you set it at 3.5, you'd probably be somewhere in that range. But I even feel, you know, when Spieth did it, you know, a few years back, and Tiger and these types of players, I feel like it was exciting to watch. And I almost feel like Dustin is so talented with ball striking, distance, all of those types of things. That's why it almost feels boring, because he makes it look so easy. He makes it look easier than anybody else on tour, I think.
You know, I understand. As far as from where he plays, the golf courses, I mean, if you could play from Dustin Johnson's drives, you'd be playing the easiest golf courses of your life, probably. You know, I will say, though, he does not convert with the flair and the consistency and the timeliness of Spieth. And, you know, while Jack was not a flamboyant personality, and he had kind of Dustin-like ball striking, but he made putts. And the drama of a guy finishing and making putts like Tiger, one of Tiger's most exciting moments, as great as he was hitting the ball, and you can think of 10 shots that, you know, are all-timers, it's those putts that stay with you, because in the end, that's when it matters the most. And I don't think Dustin's had very many moments where he's made a lot of really big putts. He's out, you know, talented a lot of people, and won 17 tournaments as a result. But he's not been brilliant on the greens in a way that is really memorable. And so I'm not knocking him. Believe
right.
me. I'm just saying every player has his own kind of stage, and his stage doesn't have a lot of fireworks coming out of it, except. And I love ball striking, and I don't like watching tournaments where all they show is putting. That drive I hit on 12 yesterday, that's the best drive I've ever seen in my life. I mean,
you're
it's
with Chamblee.
I mean, you know, well, sure, it was immediate. I mean, 433. As soon as Bones said, you know, over the greens, you know, play here, I perked up. I know it's downhill, but still, nobody was driving that green.
Right.
And, you know, he's so straight. And I did a story on him and, you know, watched him hit it. The golf is not that hard for him, you know, as far as, you know, the act of hitting the ball solid and straight and long. But there's a plenty of nuances that he had to get good at before he was really a truly, you know, as you say, great player, number one in the world. But I think it's exciting, these shots he hits. But, you know, the tournaments, and he doesn't win tournaments by domination very often either. So I don't consider it a snooze. I thought that was like a coronation yesterday. I thought it was cool. I disagree with Jeff. But usually in tight tournaments that I recall, I just don't remember Dustin making like the big putt that won it.
Right.
Usually, you know, he just outlasted somebody. So there's something so far in his career that lacks that drama that makes him a memorable kind of performer. That's all. I don't think, you know, in the end, you know, his record is going to be his record, and they're not going to put, as they say, pictures on the scorecard, and he'll be considered a Hall of Famer and a great player. But those who saw him will think, you know, Spieth was more exciting. Like what Spieth did at the British last year, it's hard to envision Dustin doing that. He doesn't play that way. If he starts going south, he tends to stay south.
Right.
Spieth did something that was mentally extremely, you know, rare. And Dustin's just an incredible athlete who I think all the purists love to watch because they all envy him. Man, I wish I had that body. Man, I wish I had that speed. Man, I wish I had that flexibility. And that. I mean, that's what these guys all say.
Right.
And yet, maybe it's been a little too easy for him, and he hasn't. I don't think he has fully, you know, fulfilled his potential in those other areas of the game that truly would make him a great player.
Yeah.
I mean, great, like all-time great.
Yeah, I mean, and as we said, that's with 17 wins in a major. So, I mean, you know, if there is another level to DJ, I mean, it'll be very, very interesting to see. You know, I always say his putts, you talked about him putting. I always say his putts look like they go in like he walks. You know, they're never like, it's never an authoritative putt that drops in. It just kind of, he rolls it up there and it kind of drops in. And
he's a bit cautious. I think he's used, you know, my guess is kind of like Rory. I think he's used to just growing up, just beating guys by hitting 17 greens and birdieing four par fives and never having to make a putt. You know, just on three putt. I almost feel like he grew up that way. Whereas Jordan probably, you know, was short as a kid and playing since he was 8, 9 years old, maybe before that. Same with Tiger. The only way they could really beat older kids was making all these putts. And, you know, Jack talks about this a little. You know, he was a big kid right away. And he never cared about chipping. He didn't miss many greens. It wasn't beating him. He was beating everybody. He didn't look that important. And it's only when you get to the very pinnacle that those little nuanced things make a big difference. And, you know, I think Tiger... When I think of Tiger, I just think of the one guy who might have had everything. It's so rare. And the reason he had everything, because he had that genius short game to go with all that power.
Right.
And that doesn't happen much. And you know, I don't think DJ ever felt the urgency to develop that. Now he's starting to see his possibilities. I'm sure Wayne Gretzky tells him, man, you know, you're leaving some out there. And, you know, I played hockey, and I tried to max out the whole thing. So why don't you max out the whole thing? And it seemed to connect with him. And, you know, it's a journey. He's gotten a little bit of a late start, but his body is so perfect. I mean, he could go another 10 years, and maybe he ends up with, you know, 35 wins and 5 or 6 majors. I could see that if he did this kind of transformation. But I think on the path he's on, you know, 26 wins, I don't know. I don't want to sell him short, but I think 3 majors, something like that.
Yeah, I think that's fair. A guy that's also mm-hmm. been impressive, and he was impressive again this past week, is Jon Rahm. You know, he continues to rise up. I saw the things floating around today about him being just the fourth youngest player ever to get into the top three in the world. He's, again, there's so many storylines in 2018. I feel like we forgot a little bit about Rahm, too. I mean, since Torrey Pines, he's been there. He's contended. He's competed. He's played well in big events. But I feel like he's another guy, in a weird way, number three in the world, that's flying a bit under the radar as we get this season going.
Well, maybe we overemphasize majors, but, you know, he is an incredible talent. And I had the fortune of doing a story on him and talking to him and knowing a little bit more about his background. And, I mean, I think if I was going to be one guy right now, you know, who would I rather be, you know, of any golfer? And that, you know, youth actually is a positive, because, you know, you got more time to develop. I'd be Jon Rahm. You know, I think he's got the most upside of any player because of his body and his coordination and his gift and his youth. But having said that, he's been very consistent, but he hasn't really risen to the moment in majors, mostly because emotionally he's over-revved himself. But so I haven't forgotten about him. What I like about him is he does have short game skills that he developed as a kid. And I think that's a huge advantage. I just feel like those are the geniuses. You know, it's hard to develop that late. Jack's kind of the one-off on that. You know, he developed it actually when he was 40, that he got a better short game finally. But he was just so great. Nobody was ever as good as probably as Jack T. DeGreen when you consider power and accuracy together. So he overwhelmed people that way. But what I love about Rahm was he said, I wasn't a very good ball striker as a kid. They used to play, you know, he grew up in, you know, in the Basque country. There was just a scruffy, pretty kind of scruffy semi-country club kind of place where he played, and just hung around the practice green all day and chipped and putted with his buddies. And I think that's always a really formative, you know, foundational thing that great players tend to have. Raymond Floyd was like that. Tiger was like that. You know, Gary Player, all these guys just chipping and putting all the time. And, you know, that seems, and Jordan, of course. And it just seems like in the crunch times of majors, those are the shots that separate. And so I think Rahm has those. He just hasn't been able to control his mentality and his, you know, his emotions enough, because he really wants it bad, which I also like.
Right.
And he just over-revs in majors. He over-revs in majors.
He wants it so bad. He gets so fired up.
He drives it great. I mean, he has become a great ball star. That short swing, because that was not always his swing. That short swing looked like he just lasts all day anywhere. There's nothing to it. I mean, it's his. I know his wrist is bowed like Dustin, but it's so athletic. It just doesn't look like, and his body's so, you know, the ballast of his body is so stable and solid. It just doesn't look like much can go wrong.
Well, so we talked about Dustin, we talked about Rahm. I mean, of course, everybody likes to overreact, especially early in the season, because we haven't had a quote-unquote big event, you know, really, I guess you could say the hero, but I mean, you know, a 17-person event and Tiger being involved and all that stuff. I wanted to ask you about media and where we're going as golf media, especially from somebody as veteran as you who has done, you know, all the jobs in golf and now is going to the TV side and is going to be doing, you know, those types of pieces away from print. Is it hard for you to look at this landscape and try to figure out what's happening? I mean, are long-form stories going to go away? Are they coming back? Where do you see golf journalism going in the next 5 to 10 years?
Well, you know, I'm honestly, and this sounds like I'm copping out, but I'm not a really good person to ask only because I am so far behind the cutting edge on what people are innovating. I mean, I'm not proud of this, but, you know, I barely use Twitter. You know, I don't do what you do. You're so, you know, you're multidimensional that way. I mean, you're truly multidimensional. I do podcasts when I'm a guest, but I've never run a podcast. I don't know how to do anything except, you know, I knew how to do my stories. I'm not saying I did them. I mean, I knew how to mechanically do them and keep them, you know, I'd get them in the, and somebody else would post them for me. So, you know, I mean, Ryan Harrington at Golf Digest, I mean, he's a true innovator. You should get him on a podcast sometime. Cause I mean, they're always looking at, nobody's figured out the formula, how to make money. Once the internet became free, it changed the whole dynamic.
Right.
You know, people expect quality stuff and not pay for it. Well, what business runs like that? You know, that doesn't work. And that's why, you know, people have stopped buying print. And that's why advertisers have stopped going to print, because everybody's getting their stuff free on digital. And yet they don't even want to, when they buy an ad on digital, they're not going to pay very much because they know nobody looks at ads, or I shouldn't say nobody, but it's hard to have a display on digital that people will actually keep their eyeball on. So it's a conundrum. So where do I see it going? I know the only faith I have is that people are always going to be interested in the subject, you know, and that's going to drive people's interest. And my hope is that people will realize that you can only fool, you know, this business model for so long. At some point, if you want quality, you got to pay for it, and that there will be paywalls that are effective. I think the New Yorker has done a great job with that. You know, because of Trump, the New York Times and the Washington Post have become really important. People feel it's indispensable, and they're paying for it.
Right.
You know, so how does golf make itself indispensable? That's a tough call, because golf itself is having a hard time growing. So golf journalism is in a tough, you know, I think, corner right now. But there's so many smart people that are giving this so much thought. I mean, television, I always feel like television is the default position. But now, of course, you know, people are cord cutting and cable cutting. So they have a challenge, too. I sort of feel I'm lucky to be 64 and, you know, I probably won't be doing this in 5 years.
You're banking on near retirement.
Well, I don't know about retirement, but I sort of feel I'll, yeah, I mean, in a sense, you know, maybe I'll freelance. I don't want to quit, but I'm only saying that I think to try to stay in the business and have a viable long career is getting tougher and tougher. And maybe there'll be some kind of paradigm shift and they'll figure out some model that actually works better than the old model. But I think that's right now, that'll be like, you know, the Gutenberg press or something that'll transform everything. And we're waiting for that. I think we're in this major transformational, you know, kind of limbo right now.
Right. Just trying to find where to stick it. Okay. You said that, you know, you've done print for years and decades and all that stuff. And you've got a chance to profile these types of players. You mentioned talking to Dustin. You mentioned talking to John Rahm. I'm going to ask you a tough question. Let's see if you can give me an answer. Let's see if one pops in your head right away. Who is your favorite player in the history of you doing this gig that you enjoyed interviewing, that you were excited to talk to?
Oh, you know, it's not by a mile because I love talking to Nicholas too, but I loved and still do love talking to Trevino. And it's because Trevino is so intensely obsessed and self-aware about his career, about himself, and about golf. He has an incredible mind. He's lived such a full life when it comes to golf. It's meant everything to him. He's given it everything. He's an incredibly talented person without any real formal training. And so his way of getting into everything is completely original. And it's just, he's ingenious when you start talking about how he discovered how to be great. and also what he overcame just in his own life. I mean, he doesn't act like a victim by any means, but I mean, he had no advantages, zero. You know, the percentage wise, the statistics would say, you know, he would have been in prison. He would have died an early death. He would have been, you know, had drug problem. He would have had all these things statistically, and he evaded all of it. And golf was, you know, as he said, you know, golf was his father. Golf was the thing that, the Marines gave him the direct sort of the work ethic and the discipline and the way to channel his ambitions. And then he used that kind of structure towards golf. And he's so funny. I mean, that's the other X factor. I mean, that's a gift. Not everybody, some of the smartest, most knowledgeable people in the world are not humorous about it. And Lee is just, you know, such a wit and such a great storyteller and such an eye for detail and comedy. I mean, he grew up, his early contact with golf was caddying in the caddy yard, which was, you know, as he said, probably 95% black. And so his humor is, you know, really earthy and that really, I grew up listening to Richard Pryor and I still, that humor to me is just hilarious. And he's got it. He's got it in his delivery. He's got it in when he's around guys who understand that world, he's incredible. So I don't know. I'm going on and on about Trevino, but honestly, Shane, I don't mean to sound, you know, mamby-pamby, but everybody's got a story. Right. And I think one reason I've never gotten bored, I mean, I could interview you about your golf and I'd be interested. And maybe that says I have no life. I don't know. But my point is I really do enjoy everybody's sort of evolution and experience with the game. And the better they are, the more I'm interested and the more I enjoy it. So, you know, and to hear somebody late in life, especially reflect, and when the war is over, so to speak, because when you talk to players as they're competing, like right now, talking to Justin Thomas or Jordan Spieth or Rory, I mean, there's so much pressure on them and they're trying to stay self-contained. You could see yesterday when they asked Dustin, what about China? You know, he didn't want to go there. Not because, and so for journalists, it becomes this adversarial thing. But as I say, when the war's over and by the time they join the Champions Tour, you know, there's just this candor and it's like they're not as withholding anymore. They're not keeping it inside them. And like Nick Faldo he's one of the great interviews, I think, when it comes to golf because he loves golf so much and he thought about it so much. But, you know, he was almost completely mute when he was winning six majors.
Right.
So, you know, I guess I would say I'm always surprised at who interests me. Rom was great. I love talking to Rom. But just for a sit down, I sort of feel now I've talked to Lee so many times or tried to that I'm exploiting him. I mean, he's told me a lot, you know, and I always want him to exceed the last time. And so in a way, I probably get in his way when I talk to him. But still, when he's on a roll, he's the best.
Yeah, and I think there is something unique about, you know, anybody that made it professionally in any sport, and in golf in particular, that didn't go through the path that a lot of guys did go through. They, you know, they had the advantages. They got to, you know, have an instructor. They had a place to go hit range balls, you know, that was provided for them, all that stuff. I mean, as controversial, if you will, as Bubba Watson is, you know, the fact that he plays golf his own way is very interesting. Now, I mean, if he...
I find Bubba fascinating, and much in the same way as Trevino. He's a genius. You know, he's got genius issues. You know, and I don't really consider him controversial. I just consider him misunderstood. He's not a bad guy at all. He's just an extremely highly sensitive, sort of hyper-attentive guy, and stuff bugs him. And he can't help it, and he's trying to control it. And he's actually got a great heart. And, you know, Trevino... genius also, you know, so sometimes the genius comes out of the lack of having to be self-made, and that makes those guys more interesting. But I interrupted, sorry.
No, and I was just going to ask you one last question because I know you got to run. I wanted to talk just Tiger, you know, coming back again. This time he's doing it, I'd say, the quote-unquote right way. I mean, he's going to play that California swing back-to-back weeks at the Farmers Insurance and the Genesis Open. How happy were you when you read that? And you realize he wasn't going to be doing the 15-hour flight and trying to go do the appearance fee side of golf. I mean, how pumped were you when you saw he made this decision that I think a lot of people hoped he would do over the last couple of years?
Yeah, you know, last year was a weird moment because he played okay at the Bahamas. He looked okay, and then, man, he had this hugely ambitious very intense travel schedule. And, you know, it flamed out after one tournament. I don't know what he was. I mean, Tiger doesn't make too many, I don't think, miscalculations when it comes to golf. I know he's had a hard time these last 6-7 years, but generally he's very, you know, sort of disciplined about that. That seemed like just a weird miscalculation. But so I'm just happy that that fusion really went well. And I think there was a lot of doubt that it would. It sounded like a career ender. I mean, fusion, right? Very few golfers have had fusions. But, you know, I was fortunate to talk to some that have had them. And like Retief Goosen, his vertebrae, the ones that hit his were one vertebrae up from Tiger. And he said, and Trevino said that he got these things called X-stops, which are steel spacers that they put in. And it's similar to a fusion because it immobilized the back. And Lanny Watkins had a fusion higher than Tiger's. All three of these guys said immediately the pain was gone. I couldn't wait to go out and hit balls. And I think that was underplayed, you know, because Tiger's got his recent past has been so full of disappointing moments physically, you know, these high hopes and then, oh, I got hurt. And so there was a feeling like, well, Tiger's going to break down. And maybe he will. But it sounds like that fusion thing was way different than those discectomies. Those discectomies are sort of partial fixes, and they kind of work, and they're more like Band-Aids. This thing is like kind of all or nothing, you know. But it definitely the nerve pain is gone because there's nothing, there's no nerve anymore. You just got a bunch of artificial material in there, and so if he didn't have any pain and he could move like he moved at the Hero. To me, I mean, he can play, I don't know, of course, but my sense is, my feeling just instinctively is he looks good and he can play again. Now, will his short game hold up? That's not a physical thing necessarily. If that holds up and his swing is like it is at Bahamas, I think he's back to right at the top of the game. And maybe that sounds naive, and it's not, I don't think, because I'm, you know, like so anxious for Tiger to get back. I think Tiger doesn't have anything to prove, and he could stop right now and his place in history is secure. But I don't know. I just know he's still, you know, got an incredible amount of drive, and I know it. I say it. I think it. I don't know it. But, you know, incredible amount of drive, and the body still looks like the talent's in there physically. So I'm just waiting. Let's see what happens.
I'm just 2 weeks.
I don't think he's got to moderate if he feels good. I mean, he's going to moderate because obviously, you know, doctors are telling him, you know, this was not necessarily something you get over immediately. But all I know is Trevino never had another problem. Lanny never had another problem. Goosen's never had another problem. Goosen just said, I can't play anymore. I can't putt. But physically, these guys all, they lost very little range of motion, which is, you know, the fusion thing is what people assume. Well, you know, you can't turn as much. It's maybe like an inch. I mean, Tiger's turn didn't look any smaller to me. So I don't know. I have very high hopes that Tiger's going to be really, really good again. And maybe, honestly, if everything is whole, let's just say he's whole, in other words, he's 42, but he's still got his talent. And the only mitigating factor is that he's 42. I still think he's the best player in the world.
Wow.
I still think, I mean, that's a big bunch of ifs and a bunch of conditions. But I don't think 42 in Tiger's case means he's lost anything except, you know, who knows, maybe a little nerve, maybe a little distance, but you know, his ball speed was 180. I didn't see any 180s at Kapalua.
Right.
I saw somebody crush one and, you know, John Rahm's was 176. So, you know, Tiger's got, I don't know, all the components are there if he pulls it together. You know, he's had so much bad luck these last 6-7 years. If he's due for some, like everything just falling into place. And if that Rubik's Cube clicks, I'm telling you, I just think he's as good as ever.
Well, that you waited until the last question to give us your hottest take there about Tiger, but I'm glad you did. Jaime, I appreciate
it's
you taking
all opinion, man.
Well,
it's
I appreciate you taking some time. Where can people find your work? Where will they see you? Do you have kind of a schedule set for the next few weeks?
You know, I'm here at the Golf Channel, and it's so interesting trying to learn this new world and be a fly on the wall. But you know, I'll be flitting in and out between like Golf Central and I guess occasional, you know, Morning Drive, all these franchises they have here. We all the quote unquote talent, I'm a little self-conscious about using that word about myself, but that, you know, you're supposed to just, you know, just be a, what would you say, you know, a jack of all trades a little bit, or at least, you know, be utility infielder, so the word I was actually looking for.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm trying to do right now. And just, you know, get comfortable and not feel like I'm going to, you know, just go blank on camera and, and become like a, you know, a YouTube meme or something. So I don't know.
I think you'll be completely fine. I mean, I appreciate you taking the time. I always love chatting with you. And hey, I hope that the Tiger prediction comes true, because that will make 2018 pretty darn exciting.
Oh my God, 2018. All the way to 2025. It's beautiful to see, all these great players rooting for it too. It's like, man, this is an honor to play against Tiger. Let's just hope that he can bring what he used to be.
Yeah, it feels, in a weird way, the way these young guys are cheering him on, it feels a little bit like that 92 Dream Team when the other teams would play him and they would have the, like, asking Michael Jordan for an autograph after the game. It was like they were more concerned with just being able to be part of the story and the history of those games.
And I think the X factor there is, at what point do they go, you know what, this guy's beating me. Okay, no more, you know, no more rooting him on.
That's right.
And I mean, Tiger wouldn't be, you know, it's gonna get. Assuming he's really super competitive again and has the skill, it's going to be intense. It's going to be really intense, because Tiger, the one thing that he really, I think, knows how to do better than anybody is freeze the other guy and make it uncomfortable. You know, I don't mean being unethical or being gamesmanship. There's just an intensity about him that used to intimidate people, it made it tough. I mean, it was well documented. The scoring average when guys played with Tiger was always higher than their regular scoring average.
Yeah, I mean, just excited for Justin Thomas to not go to the woods anymore. That's going to be his boycott of Tiger if Tiger starts winning. You know, no more restaurants visits for Justin Thomas. I mean, I appreciate it. Have a great week.
Hey, Shane, thanks a lot.
It looks like I'm a wreck. It's in the hole! It's in the hole!
Big thanks to Jaime for taking some time out of his busy week to jump on with us here. We'll have more guests coming up, including a couple of players, as we get set to get this 2018 season a-rolling. You get the Sony Open this week. We've got Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth highlighting that field. And then we come stateside, well, I guess we come continental stateside with the Career Builder. And then we kick off that California swing that'll include Tiger Woods. My first PGA Tour Live event this year will be the Waste Management, so make sure you tune in for that. And just a reminder, you can go to OGIO, get a new golf bag, get a new backpack, travel bag, roller bag. I just got a roller bag sent to me from OGIO. All of their products are top-notch. You will love each and every one of them, trust me. And the nice thing is you can save 20% if you use the clubhouse at checkout at OGIO.com. The clubhouse, no spaces, 20% off. You'll have a new golf bag, a new backpack. Treat yourself. It's 2018 already. Holidays are done. Get yourself something new at OGIO.com, and we'll be back next week.